Catherine Wolfe, fired for being sick, swung open the glass door at the entrance of the studio. It was six steps down to the sidewalk, and on every one she felt her hip ache. 9 years she had given them. It had meant nothing. No one watched her go. The men who had fired her got on with their day, Mr. Reed no doubt enlivened by the presence of Messrs. Kelly and Fordyce. He was a company man, and the opportunity to rub shoulders with the bosses was not to be missed. The girls were too busy painting to put down their brushes. Catherine knew, as she reached the final step, what they would all be doing inside. Lip, dip, paint. No one watched her go, but Radium Dial had underestimated Catherine Wolfe. The firm had just made a very big mistake. Chapter 39, Orange, New Jersey, February 1933. Catherine Sharp bit down hard on her lip to keep from crying out, her eyes squeezing shut with the pain. "All done," said the nurse reassuringly, having changed the dressing on Catherine's knee. Catherine opened her eyes warily, not wanting to look down at her leg. All through the past year, doctors had been keeping tabs on her tumour. It was 45 centimetres, they told her. 47 and a half. 49. Its earlier reduction had been reversed. In the past week or so, the bone tumour had broken through her paper-thin skin. Now, the lower end of her femur was sticking out of the wound. She tried to focus her mind on happier things. Before she'd been admitted to hospital, she had spent some time at a private sanatorium, Mountain View Rest, for her nerves, and that had been quite wonderful. She had finished writing her memoir, had even had an excerpt of it published in a social reformers magazine. She, Catherine Sharp, was a published author. It was what she had always longed to be. "I have been granted," she wrote with peaceful pleasure, "a priceless gift. I have found happiness." If only she could have stayed in the mountains, she felt so much brighter there. Yet, as her health worsened and she'd had to take regular taxis into Orange to see Dr. Humphreys, the board of doctors had balked at paying the bills. In fact, they'd had enough of the women's expenses altogether. The previous February, 1932, Catherine, Grace, Edna and Albina had all received a no-nonsense letter from Dr. Ewing. "We wish to inform you that no bills will be approved by the Commission for any services which have not been specifically approved by Dr. Craver. The Commission feels that they must scrutinise expenses more carefully. The board now refuse to cover medicines we do not feel are useful. Routine doctor's visits and home nurses." The latter was a service the women increasingly relied on to help clean and dress themselves. The board was acting, it said, to prevent this exploitation of the Radium Corporation. There had been fallout from the committee's decision. For Catherine, it made her even more determined not to submit to their experiments. "I have suffered my share. I don't think that I should be at the mercy of these New York doctors." The physicians moaned heartily about her behind her back. "She is one of the most difficult patients to handle," complained one. "I am really at a loss what to do with this highly hysterical woman." Catherine's suspicion of medical men appears to have made her nervous of accepting any therapeutic advice. Dr. Humphreys recommended a leg amputation, but she refused. "I have made no headway with her. Humphreys wrote, and doubt very much being able to do so.